Heather and Jackie were sort of spearheading this, and it was wonderful to be able to, Jackie was able to gather around other people to help, and it was great to see everyone pulling together and providing entertainment for people, which was, and the hope that we will continue to do more of that. And we were able to read Heather's prayer at the opening, and just really felt that she was with us in spirit, and that was very nice. Thank you very much for everyone who participated in making that happen. We hope it'll become a regular thing, so we need to put our creative hats on and think about what it is that we'd like to do. First announcement I have for tonight is about the town hall meeting tonight, and that will be happening from 7 to 9. The first of two town hall meetings to focus on the precepts of the Church of Canada remits, the Presbyterian Church of Canada remits on human sexuality. This first meeting will feature two speakers, and the focus is on the question why. So it's more information, and the following meeting on November the 3rd will focus on what might this mean for us going forward if these remits are approved and become part of the polity of the church. Now, nothing is carved in stone at this point. Please come with an open mind. Come and listen to the presentation and, consider what is the possibilities. Also, I have, I think we have a slide for the Leading with Care policy. Our church has a Leading with Care policy, as do most churches across the country, and it's been worked on for many years. It seems like 100 years ago that I was involved with Corlea's dad putting this together. And anyway, it's a framework for what we will know about how to be able to care for the people in our church, those the vulnerable and the vulnerable and people that take come to us for our programs. Also, the session and board members involved in what must happen with people that are renting our facilities as well. So this is going to be happening on Saturday, November the 2nd, from 1 to 3. Light refreshments will be served. So the expectation that everybody who is involved with Sunday school, board, session members, everyone will be attending this program. So I believe it's going to be sunny, so you can get your sun in the morning and come in and have refreshment in the afternoon. And other announcements, Daniel will have an announcement about the mission trip and fundraising for that. And of course, the other thing that will be happening is chocolate on the lawn for Halloween. Ooh. So this was something that was started 10 years ago. Just the idea of being present and being able to distribute hot chocolate to the people that are tromping around in their costumes, etc. And hopefully, I know that last year's Alicia and Beth were sort of stumped with the questions. So maybe this year they'll be ready to witness and sort of sound out about it. And anything else? No. Okay then. So I'm just going to continue on with the service now. So the call to worship today that I've chosen is from Matthew 11, 28-29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, For I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us pray. We fix our eyes on you, Lord Jesus, our Savior and King. Come fill our hearts with your endless love and send the wind of your Spirit to blow new hope into our lives. Come light up our souls to rise in faith, to stretch out and take in your kingdom. Come, pour out your Spirit upon us as we stand together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Come lift us up and brush away the worries that assail us. Shine your grace into our minds. Prepare us to listen for your word in all we experience in your house today. And so, Lord, as we come to worship, we leave the concerns of a fallen world and join with heaven to sing your praise as we declare your goodness now and celebrate your greatness forever, our Lord and King. Amen. So let's just do that now. Let's just fill this place with song and worship our Lord together.
Please join us in standing. We're going to be singing three songs with you. If at any point you need to sit down, please do so, but we hope that you will sing with us.
My hope is in you. ascended to heaven and evermore will reign. At the end of the age when the earth will be, you will gather the nations before you. And the eyes of all men will be fixed on the Lamb who was set crucified. With wisdom and mercy and justice you'll reign at your Father's side. And the angels will cry, spirit that cannot be denied, because the Father has told us for these who have died, for the nations who gather before you. And the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb who was crucified, who descended to hell yet was raised up to reign at his Father's side. And the angels will cry,
kind of a new one to us, this next one. But we pray that you will raise a hallelujah with us and raise this roof and sing God's praises. And make sure we're all in B, right?
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. And I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of this storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Hold on me.
So I'm going to ask the children to come forward. So we're going to pray before you guys go to Sunday school. And then if you want an extra box or you haven't taken one and you want to take one, please raise your hand so one of the children will bring a couple of boxes for you. Okay, come on. So can you please bring the boxes to some of the people that are raising their hands? I think that's okay. More boxes? Come on, people. Still have some boxes remaining here. Thank you. One for Christina. Noelia. There. There. So one announcement we have is in the bulletin. You will find this. Yeah, you can just see it. I think that's, two more over there. While you do that, I'm going to tell you, so in the bulletin, you will find this insert in here. Hello, I know the children are cute, but now I need you to look at the cutie here. I'm also cute. Thank you very much. So we have a mission trip, Poinsettia Sale. So the youth are going in a mission trip to Mexico to build a house for a family. We have a nice team of 11, 12 people going. And there will be a board and a desk or a table, something. And kids will be taking orders for poinsettias. So if you like poinsettias, hey, we have poinsettias for you here. Okay? Awesome. And the last announcement, so tonight there will be no college dinner, because we are going to come to the townhouse. Yes. So let's pray so you go to Sunday school. Thank you, God, this morning for these beautiful children we have in this church. So we pray that they can treasure in their hearts your word that they're going to be receiving today. In your name we pray. Amen.
So before I ask the elders, the ushers to come forward and take the offering, well, we could do the, some elders collect the offering too. Anyway, I just have a little announcement to make. As we gather today, our hearts are troubled and we are worried about our dear sister Heather. We're requesting that you continue to pray for healing and God's miracle to manifest itself. But because of her very weakened state, we're asking people not to go into the hospital to visit this point. Heather and Martin's family members are here from Northern Ireland, as you know, and we know that you are upholding them in prayer, along with Martin, Shannon, and Aaron. Heather is very easily exhausted and would want to interact with you if you visit. She knows she is dearly loved by you and that you're all praying for her personally and in your ministries and various studies. May I suggest that we gather together and support each other and pray? And to that end, we're going to open the church on Monday nights from 7:30 to 8:30, where we can pray together for Heather and those that are on our hearts. Now today, Heather is being transferred to hospice care. So please keep her in your prayers. I know you are praying earnestly for her. She is still so very positive, and we trust that she will continue to be comfortable and at peace. Thank you. So if I could ask the ushers to come forward to collect the offering. Okay, I know we do it differently in both services. I'm having trouble tracking it as well. Don't worry.
Away, so I'm like, where's it going?
Okay. As we offer our gifts and tithes to you, Lord, we trust they will be used to further your kingdom here on earth. May we be good stewards of the disbursement of these gifts in your holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I can feel
there's victory in the end. Your love is my battle cry. My fears like Jericho, build their walls around my soul. When my heart is overthrown, your love is my battle cry. The anthem for all my life. Every giant will fall, the mountains will move. Singing the truth that nothing is impossible.
This morning for our
scripture reading this morning is 1 Peter 1 verses 10 to 25. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear, for you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you.
To welcome those who are visiting with us today, and we will be serving coffee and tea in the hall afterwards. So please join us so that we can gather together and fellowship together. So let us pray. Father, as we come together as a body of Christ, hear our prayer. As we pray for our country and the Church International, heal the divisions that we noted in our recent federal election and instill a spirit of cooperation in our leaders, both provincially and federally. Father, your word tells us that your sheep know your voice. May we discern what comes from you and not false teaching. There is such dissatisfaction and turmoil in many areas of the world and other disasters, and we pray for those who are being uprooted and persecuted. You have promised to be present when we gather in your name. May your spirit inspire us to be united for the good of your church, and that we will crave your presence in every aspect of our daily walk. Lord, you are the giver of every perfect gift, and we praise and thank you for your unconditional, steadfast love, for the sacrifice of your only begotten Son, who suffered and died on the cross for our salvation, to restore relationship with you, our Father. Help us to love as you do, so that the world will see you in us by our love and actions. Forgive us if we have turned others away from you by unknowingly. Make us authentic representations of you, Father God, and that they see you when they see us. Grant us boldness and wisdom to inspire faith in others, that our church will become a true city of light, high on a hill that cannot be hidden. Lord, give us a heart for the broken. We come to the foot of the cross to intercede on behalf of those we love and care for. We ask for a miracle of healing for Heather and know that you are with her every step of the way. Comfort and protect her. Be with Martin, Sharon, and Aaron and the whole extended family. Be with those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. May they feel the comfort of your presence. Come alongside those who are struggling with illness and mental anguish. Give them hope from despair. We remember those who are on our long-term prayer list. Joanne Graham, David Ballantyne, Dean Scott, Alan Byrne, Lorne Dennis, and Jim Hall. Let us take a minute in silence now and remember those who were on our hearts. As we humbly commit these prayers to you now, God, let us join in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Morning. So this week, we are back in 1 Peter. Last week we started talking about 1 Peter and this message of the living hope. So during the week, Ange asked me. She goes to the office and she's like, what's the title of the sermon? And I'm like, Living Hope, Part 2. I should have said Living Hope, Episode 2. That would have been awesome, eh? And if you don't get the Star Wars reference, that is sad. Very sad. So last week in Living Hope, Episode 1, we talk about Peter and how different he sounds from the crazy Peter from the Gospels, right? He has grown, the Lord has changed his character, and he's trying to encourage this community that is going through rough times. He reminds them who they are. What is their hope? A living hope. And this week, the text is very interesting. It starts talking about the prophets and how they try to figure out the future and try to understand what was going on, what God was going to do. So this week, on Monday, Noelia was very, very excited. She's, like every day, she's very excited about anything. And she's looking at me and smiling, and I am like, what? And she's like, I got something for you, but not yet. I'm like, okay. And then she comes to me and she's like, it's going to be awesome. Got something for you. Then like, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love, so sassy. I don't know where she got that. Not from me. So, yeah. So on Wednesday morning, she comes with all of this to me, all these beautiful presents, because as you knew, it was my birthday on Wednesday. Yeah, some people forgot. No laughing. It's okay, I forgive you, but I have that in mind for Christmas. Some people text me, thank you very much, thank you. The chocolates were awesome. I might share something with you, maybe one, two pieces, Martin, if you're nice. So look at this. Look at this. Isn't this cute? So I have a booklet now to take my notes. I love you, Dad, because you taught me to play piano. I love you because you play. And then you have a drawing in there of the three of us. Awesome. You are the best. Most handsome dad ever. It says that. Yeah, it does. Children tell the truth. So another card and another card. So much love. What is this? Yes, something. It's cute. It's cute. And then you have a picture of the three of us there. So she started telling me on Monday, because she just couldn't wait to tell me what was going to happen on Wednesday. She wanted to demonstrate her love, right? And so I arrived on Wednesday, night, and I was a bit noisy, like always. And then she runs. I'm sorry, that was Tuesday night. And then she runs from her bedroom, and she's like, "Ah, is it Wednesday?" And she was all sleepy, and Pamela is like, "Go back to your room. It's still Tuesday. Go back to your room." And then Felipe at 2 a.m. comes to our bedroom. "Is it Dad's birthday?" So Pam, took it to his room. They couldn't wait. So they started telling me before, "I'm gonna do something for you, something beautiful, something awesome. I got something for you." And I feel like God loves us that way. God loves you that way. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, search intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of the Messiah. So God started talking to them, "I'm going to do something for you. I'm coming for you. I'm going to rescue you. I can't wait so you know that I truly love you and that I will come." Yes, the prophet Peter says, try to understand the time and circumstances about the redemption that was to come. They kind of understood, but not fully. And Peter says, you know what? They were working, and God was talking to them for the sake of you. This was for you. I'm sorry, I get so excited. But that helps me so you don't fall asleep. Yeah, laugh. You know it's true. The prophet spoke of things that they did not totally understand. But they knew that God was talking to them. They did not totally understand, but they knew that God was talking to them. They trusted. They believed. They knew that God was in charge. They knew that God had a plan. The prophet spoke about the future from a present that they did not totally understood, knowing that God was at work. Yes, to a church in crisis, Peter says, God knows, God is in charge. God knew. And to a church that feels alienated, that feels distant, Peter says, you know, those Jewish prophets, like 600 years ago or 700 years ago, from a long time ago, they were working for you. This is for you. This is for you. God could not wait to reveal his plan about the future salvation coming. Almost like Noelia and Felipe during this week. Is it time yet? Almost like some of you who remember my birthday. Thank you very much. Is it time yet? And to this church that's being shattered by persecution and troubled times, Peter quotes in this text from the best prophet ever, Isaiah. Isaiah. And from the best chapter in Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah, the prophet of hope. The prophet of hope, who speaks about the coming of God to his people and exile. Isn't that interesting? Isaiah speaks 600-700 years before Christ to people that are in exile. And now Peter quotes from Isaiah and he tells the church this when he begins his letter. He says, I'm writing to you, to God's chosen people, to the ones who are in exile. This is for you. This is the same word for you. Isaiah 40. How Isaiah 40 begins? Comfort. Comfort, my people, says your God. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. See that the sovereign God, the sovereign Lord, comes with power. Comes. The Lord comes. The Lord is coming. And we tend to read that as Isaiah speaking about the Messiah, right? Because we read it in Mark, in some of the Gospels, when John the Baptist is preaching. But actually, Isaiah is speaking about the coming of God. The Hebrew text says, Yahweh, Yahweh is coming. God himself is coming for you. God himself is coming for you. And then he speaks in first person in chapter 40, verse 11, and he says, I will tend my flock like a shepherd. I will gather the lambs in my arms. I will carry them close to my heart. God was like, I'm doing something new. I will rescue you, and I will go myself. I'm coming. I'm not sending a prophet. I'm not sending a king. I'm coming. I'm the one who's coming for you. You know, this friend of mine, I told you last week, right? Call him Tom, but you probably know him as Enty, right? He says this about Peter, quoting from the prophets. The prophets were people who stood on the borders between heaven and earth, between God's present time and God's future. And they were able to discern the shape of his plan, the redemption through the Messiah. The prophets knew that God had more grace coming, and that he would give them a wonderful, glorious, new identity and hope through the Messiah. This is for you, says Peter. All those prophets and all of this, all is for you. Remember that. Remember that. These are more than old stories. These are more than just words in an old book. This is a living word for you. This is yours. This is yours. So, God has a plan. He does not improvise. He is in charge. 120. Talking about Jesus, he was chosen before the creation of the world. But he was revealed in this last time for your sake. And then Peter does this thing, has this line in there in verse 12. Even angels long to look at these things. This is so cool that even angels want to know about this. So when you and I go to heaven, an angel might be around you and you say, hey, you heard about Jesus going down to us? And you heard about that? I'll tell you all about that. The angel might say, here in heaven, solo español, por favor. Okay? Pretty sure that will happen. And then in verse 13, we have a therefore. Therefore, for this reason, that's a big one. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you. Set your hope on the grace. So for this reason, God had a plan. God revealed his plan. So this plan was for you. They were working for you. So for this reason, first imperative here in Peter. Last week, we talked about the living hope, and hope is used as a noun. Now it's an imperative. The translation says, set your hope on the grace, right? But the Greek text is much simpler. He just says, hope! Imperative. I almost want to jump when I want to say that. So you wake up. Hope! Hope! Imperative. Hope. Set your mind in a state of alert, which is an interesting image that Peter uses here. The Greek text refers to an action that, you know, people in the ancient world, they have these long robes, right? If you haven't seen a Jesus movie, you probably saw, I don't know, Star Wars, is like they wear these long robes, no? And then, so to run, they would just take it and roll it around their waist, and then they can run fast. So Peter is saying that do that with your mind. So get the robe around your mind and get ready for action when times are hard. You need discipline. You need to get your mind ready, especially in difficult times. So the Christian mind must be focused on, centered in, and governed by the grace and hope brought by Jesus' resurrection. Especially during hard times. Boy, that's hard. Right? Because it's easy to preach about hope if we are all in the beach in a retreat, enjoying the sun and the water. But during difficult times, to talk about hope, that is when it becomes real. That is when it becomes real. And Peter knows what he's talking about. He has faced persecution. And remember, Christian tradition tells us that Peter died, crucified, upside down. Because he said, I'm not worthy of dying like my Savior did. You want to crucify me? You want to die upside down. Yeah. Hard. But do you think he cared? Seriously. Do you think he cared? He saw the risen Christ. He literally touched and handled and saw the living hope. He saw the risen Christ. He didn't care about living and losing his life for the sake of that. Hope, fully hope, says Peter. Fully hope. Fully, perfectly, completely, altogether, that Greek word means fully hope. On the grace that is being brought to you. Note the emphasis in here. Fully hope on the grace that is being brought now to you. That's the emphasis of the Greek text, on ongoing action. Something that is happening now, almost like when you watch the news and you see sometimes in CNN, Wolf Blitzer is in his name, in the Situation Room, and I love when they put the camera on his face and he's all like very seriously and happening now. And then he gives you the news. So Peter is like, hey, happening now. This grace is being brought to you now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to hope for a future that may or may not happen. This already happened. Jesus is risen. Oh, boy. Jesus is risen. Good job. Yeah, you woke up, did you? For Peter, hope is seen here not as one quality among others in the Christian life, but as the comprehensive term that summarizes the Christian existence, hope. So he encouraged the church now, leave your hope as children of obedience. So like the translation there, as obedient children. As children of obedience. It's not that there is this lady with a weird name. Her name, what's your mom's name? Obedience. I'm her children. This is kind of a Hebraic expression from the Hebrew culture. That means children that are characterized by obedience. Children that have a character that shows and demonstrates obedience to God. You are children of obedience. You are children of hope. Your life, my life, must be characterized, driven by the hope that has been brought to us. So, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as the one who called you is holy, so, and this is the second imperative, which one was the first one? Thank you. Good job. The second one is become holy. Be holy. Be holy. The verb, the Greek verb actually means become. Become holy. It's a process. It's something that starts, has a beginning, and is going. Become holy. What is holiness? That's a good question. What is holiness? Perfection. Do you need to be perfect? Being dressed in a particular way with a nice tie? And a nice sweater. Boy, now I am a bit hot. Speaking in a particular way. Hi, good morning. I'm the Holy Chile and come from Chile. Sometimes holiness has been confused with legalism. Is that the way you say it? Legalism? 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 I like legalism better, but okay. Legalism. Yeah. So you have to do certain stuff, dress in a certain way, talk in a certain way, so you are holy. So I remember being in this youth retreat in Chile like 200 years ago, and the preacher is saying, hey, real youth Christian, do not go to the cinema. And I'm like, what? Not even for Star Wars? He actually said that, and then he gave us a list of rules. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And I'm like, boy, this Christian thing is really, really boring. But I don't think holiness is about that. Holiness is about reflecting the character of God. That is what actually the Bible teaches us. Reflecting God's character. Holiness is about character. Holiness means that we are being transformed by and conform to the character of God. So you and I, Peter says, we are meant to reflect God's character to the world. In a world that is self-centered, selfish, individualistic, we are meant to reflect God's holiness. Be holy. Because I'm holy. So, What is Peter saying? Remember the God that you believe in. He is holy. And remember who you are. You are his people. So be holy. Live out this living hope. Live out your times as foreigners in reverent fear. Yes, as immigrants. I love that one. We are all immigrants. Yes, we are. That's what Peter is saying. Just for making a quick study here, group study. Who's an immigrant here? Raise your hand. Oh, we are the first one to enter heaven. Yes, but First Peter says we are all immigrants. So you move to Canada, like we did 11 years ago, you find things different, right? This is different. Canada is different. First, it's a bit colder. Just a little bit. And then in Chile, for example, when the bus is coming, so you stand in the bus stop and you do this. And the bus stop. Okay? So I'm in Montreal 10 years ago. There are a bunch of people in there in the stop, and I'm like, nobody's raising their hands. The bus will not stop. So I'm like, and the people next to me are like, and then I take the bus, and then I scream from the back because that's what you do in Chile. On the corner, please. And the bus just keeps going. And somebody is like, dude, you had to press that red button. And I'm like, oh, we don't have that technology in Chile. So yeah, so when you are an immigrant, you find new things. You are like, this is strange. This is new. So when Peter says, live your life as immigrant, he's saying every single one of you now is an immigrant in this world that has chosen to ignore God. So you should have that feeling. When you see injustice, you should be like, oh, I don't like that. When you see other bad things in the world, even things that happen to us, sickness and death, and I'm gonna take a wild guess now. This is a prophecy. I have a prophetic word for you. In a hundred years more, none of us will be around. That's true. It's a true prophecy. Yeah. That's death. And when we see death, we don't supposed to be like, oh, that's just life. There is an expression in Chile that says, that's, how is it in Spanish? Okay, I'll read it. esa es la ley de la vida. Somebody dies and they are like, esa es la ley de la vida. That means, that's the law of life. What would Peter say? You are immigrants in this world. You're supposed to say no to that. No, because you believe in a risen Lord. That's why your hope is not just hope. It's a living hope. So that, you should feel alienated by that. Of course you should. Hope plus holiness means that we live in hopeful resistance against the ways of the world. And I'm going to quote my friend Tom again. And he says the resurrection was the full bursting into this world of the life of God's new creation. It's like God's future arrived and said, like, boom, I told you I was coming. Here I am. Here's the new creation now. So Christian ethics, the way you and I live, is the lifestyle that celebrates and embodies that new creation. That's why it's Why is this so important? Why? You may ask, right? And I would answer, that's a good question. Thank you for asking. Peter says, remember how much this salvation cost. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. So your faith and hope are in God. And this cost the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So we are called to live in this hopeful resistance. Live your life in holiness. Live your life in holiness. Peter is challenging us. No more sin, no more fear. Live out your hope. Live your life in holy obedience. Show love and compassion in a world of selfishness. Show holy honesty in a world of deceit. Live a life of justice in a world that is unjust. Live a life of hope in a world that offers nothing. Live your life in holiness. Be holy as your God is holy. And now, Peter says, now that you have purified yourselves, now that you're ready, you are set your mind, you are ready to go to live this life of hope, he says this. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. Love one another deeply from the heart. He probably recalls the words from Jesus. A new commandment I give you. Love each other as I have loved you. Love each other as I have loved you. And then Jesus keeps going, and look what he says. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So Peter is probably recalling Jesus' words here. And he's saying, now that you've set your mind, that you are ready to go and live out this hope, now that you have determined to follow the way of God, the way of holiness in the world. Now, first step, love one another. For Peter, this living hope becomes real. Becomes real. You can actually see it. You can touch it. You can feel it when the community of hope have this sincere love for one another. If you live like this, you will be the true community of the living hope who follow the risen Messiah. How come is this possible? How come I'm supposed to love this crazy Chilean? Well, I don't think that's very difficult anyways, but Peter says, because you have been born again. God has given you a new life. What a beautiful image. Do you have Juliana here today? May I borrow her? No. Not during the sermon, later. Okay. I want a baby. When you see new life, isn't that beautiful? And it's not because of my obsession with babies, and I do want another baby. Pam is looking at this from the daycare, from the downstairs, from the nursery. Yes, listen to the word. It is beautiful to see new life. And that image can be applied to you. I'm going to tell you a story of Eric. Actually, Eric. Eric. So I grew up in this neighborhood. And in the middle of the neighborhood, we had this like soccer field, tiny soccer field. So all the kids gathered there, and we play soccer every day. You play soccer? You know what I'm talking about? Like football. Play with a foot and with a ball. That's why you call it football. Makes sense. Right? Thank you. And so we gather all together, and we play every day and practice every day. So we have some kids here that understand that, like, yeah? So athletes like us practice every day, right? Thank you. So usually we play every day after school, and then Eric's playing with us, a friend. But almost every day, his dad is coming back home when we are playing, and he's drunk. And he is trying to walk. So Eric stops, and this is a very awful, awkward moment. So all the kids stop, and they're looking at him. So he leaves the game, and he carries his dad home. So that happens often, 2 or 3 times a week. So of course, it's that's the way you are raised. No later in life, Eric is also drunk in the street. So I never, it was years. I didn't see him for years. And one day, I'm on the bus, and I see Eric walking wearing a suit. And I'm like, and it's Sunday. In Chilean culture, that means one thing. You're going to church. And then I see him, and I talk to him. And he got this new life. He did. He believed in Jesus. And he got a new life. You know what's the best part of the story? No later, his dad joined him. So this gospel, this word, is true. It can change your life. It can change anything. It changes everything. That's why it's called the living hope. And I love the way Peter finishes his sermon. It's like almost dropping the mic. I thought about picking a mic and dropping it. So Owen is there. Yeah. Because Peter says, all people are like grass. And all the glory is like flowers in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word that was preached to you. Boom. Drop the mic. This is the word. Yes. By quoting Isaiah here, Peter says that this God who talked to Israel through the prophet, this God, from 600-700 years ago, and now 3,000 years ago, this God that talked through the prophet is your God today. And his word endures forever. I will come and rescue you. Yes, he did it. Jesus did it. I will come and rescue you. Even from the grave, I will rescue you. He is risen. Three words from today as we finish. Hope. 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 Be holy. And love one another. And Peter drops the mic. Remember who you are. The holy community of hope. Remember the price that was paid for your redemption, Jesus' precious blood on the cross. And remember, his word endures forever. Yes, you and I are like grass. We'll be gone very soon, before the end of the century, probably. All of us will be gone. But his word endures forever. He is risen. The word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. Amen.
Please join us in standing once again as we sing together.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. Trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, God alone, weak made strong, sail us through the storm. He is
seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
My anchor holds within the veil.
Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in the righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne.
Faultless stand before the
for the benediction, there is time change next week. So I hope that you will wake up earlier. So go now in peace with the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's my prayer that this hope will embrace you, will indwell you, and drive your life every day. Amen.
Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword. Still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Sun at the trumpet call.